Well, I guess you can say that you've been in on the ground floor of MaaS development and mobility on demand, and that really has been something that's been emerging as a significant major market over the last few years. And you look at projections, and they're talking about that growing exponentially in the years ahead. How are MaaS and MOD services creating both challenges for mobility, safety, and equity in the transportation space? And looking at the other side, how are they also presenting opportunities?
With regard to challenges in this kind of mobility, safety, equity parameters, it really comes down to making sure that as we're designing the technology of tomorrow for our mobility, that we are thinking about our underserved communities, that we are thinking about individuals with disabilities, we are thinking about how older adults will operate and navigate our mobility ecosystem. And so, you know, the challenges are, you know, as we think about the future of technology and we think about the future of these models, for example, one of the key learnings that we have is working with older adults. You can have mobility as a service, but if you put it on an app and you exclusively include that on an app, you're going to miss a large percentage of the population that still needs to navigate around a community or in a community if you're not allowing individuals to interact without having to have a smartphone. You know, you're leaving people behind. So there's that potential to expand the digital divide as we cascade towards these new features and these new functions. And then on top of it, from an equity perspective, you know, costs can grow, and that creates a huge challenge. I mean, we've had individuals in our communities where they'll call in and they'll say, I need a trip to the doctor, I'm going from here to here, and we'll say it's $3.42, which is cheaper than a bus pass, they still can't get to the doctor because they don't have $3.42. Or a single mom's trying to book a trip to work and she has to pay $1.25. She gives us 3 credit cards and none of them go through. And so that as people want to navigate a community, the cost to navigate that community has to be a factor, and mechanisms need to be in place for individuals who are unbanked, so on and so forth. And I think that Tap Card has done some really innovative things, and we've kind of done some innovative things in our communities kind of ad hoc. But I think that is some of the key components that you see. And then I think it also brings to light in this mobility as a service, mobility on demand, what we're seeing in gaps in safety and security. When you are looking at these challenges as a city or as a council, you do notice. So, for example, if we want to have somebody be a part of our platform, we talk to these transportation companies and we go online and we say, okay, this organization, you know, isn't registered in the state that they're operating in. Okay, well, they're not going to, you know, but yet they're driving around taking rides, right? You know, there's no way to kind of hit those. Or, for example, we'll have people who are volunteer drivers or who are applying to be volunteer drivers who are actively Lyft and Uber drivers that don't pass the background check. And so when you bring all of these things together and all these mobility options and you look at them inclusively, you really do see some of the really fragmented safety components that are out there and so on and so forth. So I think it really does allow a community, allow community leaders, allow an integrator to really look at the community from that 50,000 foot view, but also that on the ground level, because you're seeing both things happen simultaneously. And those equations, those challenges that you see, you know, kind of really do start to make sense. You can start to see the jigsaw puzzle come together, which is really exciting.